It was an honour to read this out in front of you all, guys. It's a bit different from what I usually do on a Saturday. We've got a lot of players who want to second themselves up for the Armageddon for the next 80 minutes. But here we go. So it's an honour to read this out to you anyways. I'd like to start this testimony back in 1966, 2 years before I was born. My parents and grandparents were on holidays in Devon. And one day they went down to Preston Beach where they noticed a boy was drowning in the sea. My grandfather went to help the boy out. He pulled him out of the water, but a wave caught my grandfather and pulled him in. My grandfather drowned, but the boy was saved. 2 years later, I was born. I would meet the biggest influence of my life to date, my gran. She was a nurse in London during a blitz, and she always kept me mesmerised with the stories that she would tell me, because I was my gran's first grandchild. Everywhere that she went, so did I. That also included Sunday school, because my gran was a very, very religious woman. As I grew up, I decided to leave the church as I was getting older, and I wanted to go out with my friends who didn't go to Sunday school. And I thought that was the end of the journey for the church and myself. And like most people, I started to slide into sin. Satan finds his way into your life. And I thought at the time I was just a typical teenager, drinking, swearing, watching pornography, and all along Satan doing what he does best, getting in you, think that you're not a bad person, you know, everybody's doing it. But one incident in particular, I remember me and my friends sneaking upstairs in the church while they had a service downstairs, and we sneaked inside and we stole some crisps from the room upstairs. It was an incident that would stay on my conscience right to this very day. Every time I walked past this particular church, I wanted to go in and say sorry for what I had done, but I never had the courage to do so. When I became about 15 years old, music came into my life. So much so, it had a massive influence with the role of my journey with the Lord. When I became about 18, I bought my first drum kit and joined the band. It wasn't a very good drum kit. It was falling apart. It was an old rubbish thing. We practiced every couple of days, but I decided to sell them because they were old and decrepit, basically. 1988, I met my wife, Sharon, and about 12 months later, I bought another drum kit and joined another band called Perfect Alibi. I'd never been the sharpest tool in the box. In those days, in school, in the clay class, it always returned to haunt me. I remember one day in the band, in practice, the guitarist turned up and he'd had a new song. So when he was playing the guitar riff, I said, when do I start? He said, when do I come in? He said that, come in when I start. And my reply was, what's a nice start? Sorry, guys. Anyway, that went down quite well. The band stayed together for about 2 years, playing a few gigs in Aranda, and finally recorded a demo tape. Not long after that, we had a massive argument about playing a gig in the Heritage Park in a wedding party, and some of the band members had not spoken right this very day. In August 1992, Sharon and I bought the house together and we moved in. But on New Year's Eve that same year, my gran lost a battle with cancer and passed away. I would later join the band. I would later join the last band I would ever play in. I wasn't happy there, and I decided to quit and sell my drums altogether and finish with music altogether. Me and Sharon, we got married in 1994. In 1997, my son was born. When my son was about 7 years old, I started taking the play mini rugby, as I'd been a massive rugby fan from by the age of 21. And my son always wanted to play, being a Scarlet fan like his own man. calm down. So I first took him to Penygraig RFC. And anybody who's been involved in with kids rugby will know you soon get roped in some way or another. You know, and I ended up becoming a referee. Becoming a referee made a massive difference in my life. As I think most of you realise by now, I can talk for Wales. But I'd now discovered confidence as well. My mother have always said that I've never shut up since I first found my voice. Over the coming years, I started to notice big changes in the world, and not in a good way. I'd had alarm bells ringing in my ears for a long, long time. Things in which you've grown up knowing were wrong, but society had now been passed off as good. If you said anything, you were labelled as the problem. I felt like I was on my own and didn't fit in society anymore. I remember watching one of the big soaps about 3 years ago when they decided to show two men kissing, and I went nuts and switched the telly off. My wife told me to grow up, and I said, no, I'll put it on the next day, but if that ever happens again, I won't watch it anymore. As you can gather by, I don't watch soaps anymore. I've been complaining to my wife for a long time about how I felt, about the evil which is going on in the world, but she just looks at me like I'm overreacting. But to say the Lord works in mysterious ways is a massive understatement. As my journey first started, salvation first started in Sunday, in March in 2017, before I was about to take my son back to university. I remember watching YouTube, as I'm a massive fan of heavy metal music. A song started randomly playing as I was about to leave the house. I usually skip these songs because I didn't pick it, like, so I usually let it go. But then this particular day, for some reason, I let the band play. The band were called Theocracy, and after a bit of research, I found that they were a Christian metal band. It wasn't a problem for me listening to Christian metal, because I've seen Christian metal bands before, you know. I started to take a keen interest in this band, especially in the lyrics of the songs. I remember hearing the words from the song, As the World Bleeds. It was something like, so we blame you because our world's not come out right, while the devil's masquerading as an angel of the light. Now this line kept sticking in my head, and it was totally relevant to what's happening in the world today. This is where my walk with the Lord started. Towards the end of the same year, out of the blue, a very old friend of mine, Andrew Bence, who used to be the keyboard player in Perfect Alibi in 1990, contacted me after 25 years of not seeing him due to him becoming a Christian and moving away. We made arrangements to meet up for a meal over Christmas with Gary, who was the guitarist from the old band. And when we sat down for food, Andrew said, "Grace." It was a bit strange for me, but Gary looked very uncomfortable. As soon as we'd finished the meal, he made his excuses and left. But I was so glad to be back in touch with my old friend. And he told me he was a pastor in a church in Surrey. He asked me about my life and religious beliefs, and I told him that I didn't know if God existed, but I told him that Satan is certainly running the world at the moment. Mm. We had a pretty interesting conversation, but after saying goodbye to Andy that night, we made sure that we would keep in touch after that. After many interesting conversations I would have throughout the coming months with Andy, he asked me if I wanted a Bible. So I said yes, and he sent it to me from Amazon. When it came back, I hid it from my wife, as I was not sure what she was going to say with this new direction my life was going in. A few weeks later, I was in the garden repairing my fence while I had my headphones on, and again I was listening to Theocracy's Absolution Day. And this was one of my favourite songs with the band. However, as I was now reading the Bible, I started to understand the song for the very first time. I now understood the song was about Jesus and how he died to save us from our sins. I can now hear the words, "For Christ alone is worthy, who paid the price to set all sinners free, for even me." So I was really impressed with I could understand what the song was actually about now I was reading the Bible. Later that month, I was invited to Andy's church of faith back in Surrey. When I arrived, I couldn't believe how nice and friendly all the people were. It reminded me of neighbours years ago who were always willing to help and always on the doorstep at midnight on New Year's Eve to wish everybody a Happy New Year. But also the way these Christians had the same outlook on the world as myself, but I'd not found the Lord yet. I came home from Andy's that Saturday night and my wife said to me, "You're not going to be one of those God squatters now, are you?" I said, no, I wanted to say I was certainly searching, but I wasn't ready to tell her yet. A few weeks later, I'd fallen asleep on the settee. When I woke up, there was a show on the TV. It was called Christian Haters. So I decided to watch it. I was thinking it was all about about people who hate Christians. However, this is not the case. It was about Christians in America, where this TV show was trying to make out that the Christians were the haters of society. I watched this show with interest, and as it went on, I was agreeing with everything these Christians were talking about. A few weeks later, me and my wife, I got into an argument and I decided to get these feelings off my chest. And I told her that I was starting to take a keen interest in the Bible. And she asked me if I was looking to go to church. And I said, yes, I was. But I didn't know where to go. And we left it at that. A few weeks later, I had a message from Andy again, asking if I could stay at my house because his parents are very ill. I said, of course you can. So he thanked me. And that was that. A couple of seconds later, he messaged me again. Now this time, he asked me if I wanted to go to church with him. I was thinking, wow, this is weird, because there's only the only people who know that I want to go to church is my wife, myself, and the Lord. So this was really, really strange. So he contacted Darren to find out about the service on Sunday. So it was no accident I ended up walking into Bethany early in October. But my first experience was to witness Darren dressed as a chef.
I did come back.
I remember thinking to myself, what on earth is going on here? However, Darren got to the punchline in a way that even someone like myself could understand. When I left, me and Andy spoke with Darren on the door, and I said that I was a searcher, and Darren gave me a leaflet for the church, so we left it there. The next day, I was in work talking to myself like I do sometimes, and I thought, well, boy, you've done the hard work. You may well as go back. So I decided that I would come back the following Sunday. The next few visits were a bit different, as Darren had gone away for a few weeks. But the more I came here, the more I wanted to come back. In a world outside, I no longer fitted in with society. I felt like an outcast. I realised a long time ago that the old line that separated good and evil had been crossed by a country mile, and things were just getting worse and worse. Mankind have learned nothing since the Garden of Eden. We now witnessing what happens when the world turns its back on God. I'm not perfect by any means. I was selfish and hypocritical, amongst other things, and I couldn't see it until God had opened my eyes. The Lord knew I was lost and looking for help. I came here looking for answers, and it didn't take me long to find them. I soon realised that this was where I was supposed to be. I realised after a few visits that everybody was speaking the same language that I could understand. And as the weeks went by, I started to consider myself as a Christian. But on Christmas Day, I came to church, and at the end of the service, I was speaking to Julian and Kay, and they asked me if I'd accepted my free gift yet, but I didn't understand what they meant. So when I came down from New Year's Eve service, I spoke to Joe and told her what Julian and Kay had said to me, and I explained that I didn't understand what I needed to do. So she went to fetch Darren, and he said I had to repent. I wanted to say sorry to God ever since I'd stolen from the church all those years ago. In February, I got my baptism sorted, and I've not looked back. My life is different now, as becoming a Christian has definitely changed me for the better. I now, for the first time, have a relationship with my parents, and for the first time in my life, I no longer hold any grudges to anybody. I'm pretty much up to date. However, in the last men's meeting, in the evening, we got into conversation of the end times, and even though none of us knows when it's going to happen, I noticed everybody was in agreement that it is coming, and it's coming soon. Since I read the book of Revelations about calves being of no use and having the mark of the beast on the right hand or forehead, I've been noticing for a long time, especially where I live, that the banks are closing at a rate of knots as more and more people have stopped using cash. Things certainly can't keep going on the way that they are. There's no end to this evil in society today. For myself, it truly has been an amazing journey to this point. Things have changed for me massively, and although I do slip up occasionally with a bad word, or I sometimes get angry, but I do feel bad and apologise straight away. It really is amazing that the Lord has taken a sinner like myself and guided me from darkness to light, and for that I will be eternally grateful. I've been saved by God's grace. I now see what's been right in front of my eyes all my life, but I couldn't see it. The Christ is real, not some character in a storybook that society is trying to remove from history. He came to earth to save us all, and one day he's coming back. He was our spotless lamb. I don't know what the Lord has in store for me yet, but I do know that I will use my confidence and my friendly banter to speak about Jesus to anyone who is willing to listen. I could have just read the words of Amazing Grace, but it's like Andrew Davis said, that's just not me to sum up my story. But I do know when my time has come, because of my salvation, I will now get to meet my grand, see my grand, and hopefully this time, I may also get to meet my grandfather too.
That's amazing, absolutely amazing, isn't it? And most of us have witnessed Neil sat at the back there, trying to work things out. And it's been great. I don't want to make too many observations on anything, But what I would like to say is this, that it would have been the easiest thing for anybody in the church to push him in a direction. But God took his time. Neil took his time. And he came to the right conclusion at the end, which is great. I can't go a night without speaking about A.W. Tozer. But A.W. Tozer speaks about, what are those things you buy when at the seaside? Winkles? Is it?
Cockles.
Cockles, right, cockles. And they give you a little cloth and they can pick them out. And he talks about those Christians who want to winkle somebody out, who want to pull that little cockle out of his shell. And it makes for the weakest Christians in the world. And there's another story that I heard. And it's the story of a grandfather, funnily enough. And the grandfather had ducks, kept ducks and bred ducks. And his little grandson used to watch the ducks. And the duck eggs were there, ready to hatch. And one by one they hatched. And his grandfather had warned him, don't touch those eggs. Don't touch them. He said, you might hear the duckling trying to get out of the egg. But don't touch them, because you'll damage the duck. And the last one was there. It was a couple of days later, hatching than the others. And the grandfather had come along. And the duckling had come out of the egg. And it was as weak as anything. And the following day it died. And he knew that his grandson had tapped that egg and cracked the egg. And we must never force people into the kingdom of God, because they walked down the road and somebody else will force them out. And that's why, you know, since the first day I met you, you could see that God was working. God was working in his own time. And it's great to see. Wonderful. Has anybody else got anything to say? No? You said it all. It's absolutely great. It's wonderful to hear a testimony like that. It's wonderful to hear Phil's testimony. And you know, it's a complete story, and it's your life from start to finish, and the things that happened to you and the influences that brought you, you know. And your friend Andy, I don't think I met him. I might have shaken hands with him when he came in, but can't remember really. But it was good that, you know, and all those things coming together, you know. It's impossible. These things are impossible with man, but with God all things are possible. It's not a coincidence. No, absolutely not. No, it's all in God's perfect plan and timing. It's great. Thanks very much, Neil. We'd like the closing prayer.
Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the fact that we can witness a personal testimony. Father, that's something that the world cannot take away from us. Mm. Father, they can question whether Christ is real. They can question what the Bible version is right. They can question what denomination is right. They can question a whole host of things. But Father, nobody can take away our personal testimony, because we know what happened because we were there. And Father, I'm thankful for the power of the testimony of the individual, for the soul that comes to know Christ as their Saviour. Father, what a joy it is to be able to witness that transformation. Father, what a joy it is to be able to witness that new birth. What a joy it is to be able to be fellow labourers, as it were, as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ together, as we work together, witness together, worship together. And Father, I'm thankful for this meeting on a Tuesday night, Lord, where the men can gather together, where we can help one another, encourage one another, and share one another's burdens, and encourage one another in our own individual walk with the Lord. And Father, we are just so thankful for Neil, Lord, and for his testimony and for his journey, Lord. We pray that each and every one of us would be an encouragement to him, Lord, in that journey. Father, I'm thankful for everyone here who has that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, for every person who's come to that saving knowledge of Christ. And Father, there has to be a time in our lives where we recognise the fact that we were sinners, and that we were in need of a Saviour, and that we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we confessed with our mouth that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord. Father, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm thankful for that, Lord. Thankful for the gift of eternal life which comes through Christ, our Saviour. So, Father, would you just bless our remaining time together here tonight. Bless our time of fellowship. And, Father, would you continue to encourage us as we meet one with another and enjoy not only the presence of each other, but your presence here among us. We love you and we praise you. And we ask these things in Christ's name.
Amen. Before we sit up for a cup of tea.